Thanks, Brother Bill. I forgot water today. Brother Bill bought me a little bit of fresh coffee, which is helping. Am I on? Check, 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 check. There we go. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. As a reminder, there's no button for me to start pushing this to record if you want me to record it. You know what I'm talking about, guys? That makes sense, what I'm asking? Has it been recording since the beginning?
No.
It's not given the options yet.
As a reminder to everybody, I love you, each and every one of you, and appreciate you for keeping the faith, for being here this morning. Thanks, Brother Greg, for those songs this morning you picked so much. Lucas, for reading that scripture. Brother DC, helping us focus on the things we should with the table. That's okay. Even though this might not get recorded, with the best technology in the world, we're still going to win together. Today's lesson is titled, Win Together. Maybe some of your companies have used that terminology. Maybe you've heard it. I use it a tremendous amount in the workplace. For two things, a couple reasons, I guess. One for me is, it puts me in the mindset that we're a team. It puts me in a mindset of a servant to help. It puts me in a mindset not to play the blame game. Because blaming somebody else is not winning together. That's just pointing out somebody made a mistake. This week, I'm helping on a problem, helping on a bunch of projects, but one of the projects, these shoes are a little different than the other ones. Normally, the project I'm working on, it's a bus garage, so we're putting up a whole bunch of canopies, 30 columns, 300-400 feet long. And they got concrete pads, bigger than the baptistry, just a big two concrete truckloads full of concrete. That's how big. They're just big. So I walk up to the subcontractor and I said, which way are you putting those anchor bolts? He said, well, I'm putting them right here. I said, that's north. He said, we had a meeting last week and this is what's north. We had to put north on the drawings to figure out which way everything pointed. I said, you're right. I said, they're north, but those anchor bolts got to go over there. He's getting ready to spend tens of thousands of dollars and put the anchor bolts in the wrong spot by a misunderstanding. He also relied on an engineer that set all the pins in the hubs, the anchor bolts. Now, old-fashioned school is the old carpenter gets out there and he gets the papers out and he starts scratching and he does it all himself. To win together, okay? Hey, let's look at this again. So we went over and looked at the drawings. Sure enough, there's north. Sure enough, the anchor bolts go there, not here where he was getting ready to pour them. And I looked to him. I said, are we aligned? Are we thinking the right thing? He said, yeah, I recognize what's going on. So he immediately calls the survey engineer, makes a new plan. And he looks at me kind of like, are you going to scream at me? Are you going to demeanor me? Are you going to blame me? And I said, no, we win together. And that's how the title of our lesson come together. That's how we win together at work. Not always, don't get me wrong. I'm not always the perfect unifier and the perfect team member. But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven and being part of the church and winning together for Jesus, I'd like for us to look at some lessons from God's holy word this morning to win together. Because if we look at our passage of scripture and our lesson text this morning, and you he made alive who were dead, but he made us alive together with Christ. He has raised us up together. He has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, for we are his workmanship. I don't know about you, but I wish the whole world was one big happy family. I really do. I wish everybody that drove down the road looked out for the other person. I wish everybody that was on a team at work looked out for the other person. I wish the whole world would look out for each other like Jesus wants us to look out for each other. That only happens in the church because only those things and those people following Jesus is where that happens. What happens is I expect somebody that's not a Christian to follow Jesus as I'm following Jesus. And if that person that's not a Christian decides, you know what? I got just a little bit over here and a little bit over here. And then I start thinking and I question myself. I'm like, gee whiz, is that person a Christian? Maybe he is. Maybe he is. Maybe she is. And then I read God's word and I'm like, no, they've got some biblical concepts in their life. But we're going to look at a passage of scripture that says don't be unequally yoked. You can't win together, folks, with people that aren't following Jesus. It's just not possible. It's going to be stressful. Don't get me wrong, just like I'm mentioned at work. I'm the only one that can lead by that if I'm following Jesus. Don't get me wrong, there's other people do the same thing. Gather biblical concepts. I took the Dale Carnegie course, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I'm like, well, that's out of the Bible. That's how I told the instructor. I said, well, that's out of the Bible. That's out of the Bible. Those are Jesus. Those are biblical truths that you're teaching people to use in the business setting. That's 20-some years ago, folks. 25 years ago I went through that. I'm like, Strengthen my faith all the more in God's word. We can help the world win together, but we, as God's children, have to be together. We have to be alive together and raised up together and be aligned. We're going to look at some more passages this morning. But as God's holy word in Ephesians mentions this in the first part of the chapter, we win together. The second part of the chapter reads as this. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as created by himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Together, together, together. Fitted together, being built together. But we have to be saved by faith through grace. How are we fitted together and built together? We're brought near by the blood of Christ. Here's what we want to do in our lives sometimes. We want to be fitted together, and we want to be joined together, and we all want to have everything warm and fuzzy, but we don't want to be brought near by the blood of Christ. And in order to win together in the kingdom of heaven, we've got to recognize who is in the kingdom of heaven, who isn't in the kingdom of heaven. One of the reasons why I brought to light being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven in the last month or so in one of my lessons is we need to be a citizen of God in the kingdom of heaven above a citizen of anything else in our affiliations. I have to remind myself of that, brothers and sisters. I'm tempted to be affiliated with somebody or something above being brought near by the blood of Christ. And the blood of Christ humbles me and tells me, you're a citizen of the Most High God. You need to win together with those of like minds and those of like faith. Together we win. But we have to be together in the right spot. You can't grow into a holy temple and accept sin. I'm going to say that again. You can't grow into a holy temple and accept sin. We need to recognize what sin is and remove it from our lives and not be unequally yoked with it. Because it is written. How can we be a dwelling place for God and allow sin in our lives and be aligned with sinful things? It's not possible. We may think it's okay, but it's not. In Acts, it is written in chapter 13, so when Jesus went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicted and blasphemed. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles, for so the Lord has commanded us. I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God, of the Lord. And as many had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women of the chief and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and of the Holy Spirit. Almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Almost. Almost. And then when they came together, guess what happened? They won together. They all want to do what God said. No, that's not what the passage says. They were filled with envy. They contradicted the word of God, and then they blasphemed God. We're going to tell you what God really is and really is like. You're going to contradict God. Be confident in your faith in today's world that if somebody wants you to align yourself with sinful thoughts and practices, that you can say no. That you don't envy something they have, that you don't want to contradict what God says, and you don't become a blasphemer. Sin is sin. You wonder why we go through troubling times? Read the history of God. God says, I love you so much, but because of sin, here's what you're going to have to go through. Time after time after time. Whether it's an idol or a practice or a social policy, whatever goes on, it's nothing new to men. God says your sins will find you out. Brother D.C., we were talking about world events. And Brother D.C. says, man, I don't like it. I don't understand it. But this ain't happening unless God knows what's going on. And I thought, you know what? You're right, brother. You're right. I want to know God's business. I want to know why. I want things done the way I think ought to be done. And Brother D.C. says, I see things just like you, Brother Don. But God's in control, and one of these days, maybe we'll find out what God wants. Maybe it'll happen after we're done and gone. You're right, brother. What, you know, we win together. Thanks, brother. We win together. But if we don't talk about things, if we don't reason from the scriptures amongst ourselves, let's make sure we're reasoning together. We need to be back together studying the Bible more together. Okay? I've inquired of our elders, and I'm inquiring of you guys to commit yourselves when the elders say, we're going to come back together and study, we're having Bible study, however we do it, whether it's virtual or whether it's not. And if you can't do it virtual and it's prescribed we're going to have Bible study virtual, the ladies, thank you for doing that. Those of you that are gathering together to study God's word. We win together, and we're directed by God's holy word, and we need to start getting back together and studying God's word. And if it's virtual, let's do it virtual. And if you can't do it virtual, you don't know how, you don't have a computer, ask somebody, we'll help you. We'll make sure you can participate, however it works. But I plead with all of us to start getting back into God's word. We used to do it 3 times a week. We've been doing it 1 time a week. I plead with us to get back together. Together we win. I know I have to walk by my own faith, okay? I needed DC to tell me that the other day. I need God's word to tell me. I need to be reminded about how precious Jesus' blood and his body was. It is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 through 13. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothens, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized into the name of Paul? They had the same temptations and struggles about winning together 2,000 years ago as we do today. They had a hard time all speaking the same thing 2,000 years ago as we do today. They had divisions among them. Guess what? This is fabulous truth from this passage of Scripture. We are perfectly joined together with the same and the same mind and the same judgment when we are in Christ. When he is our Lord and Savior, when he is our guide, when there is no other precedence but his word. But the minute I say, you know what? I like this guy thinks a little bit. I like how Paul wrote a little better than Peter. Or I like Peter a little bit better than John. Or I like John a little bit better than Paul. I like all Paul's writings the best. I like Matthew better than Mark. And that sounds kind of silly, maybe a little crazy. But that's exactly what Satan tempts us with. Instead of Jesus is my Lord and Savior, it's all one. It's how the knife of division Satan uses. Satan uses money. Satan uses prestige. Satan uses politics. That's why Jesus came. He wasn't political. He didn't have a ton of money. His prestige was loving the Father and loving his neighbor as himself. His prestige was obeying what the truth was. He prayed for unity. He prayed for us to be together. to have the same mind and the same judgment. I could ask certain questions about people's faith, about the world, about all kinds of things today, and ask everybody to write their answers down, and we'd have multiple different ones. Now, how are you getting, and how are we, I'll say we because I want to include myself, how are we getting our truths, how are we getting our alignment that we are perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment? If we aren't going to Christ, if we aren't going to God's Word, if that is not the most preeminent thing in our lives. Don't get me wrong. There's other thoughts and concepts and sidebars. But those should never take preeminence over Jesus. Loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Being a citizen of the Most High God, the kingdom of heaven. I just thought about this by looking at this illustration, and I asked us this morning, how old are those people that are there? Anybody, can I ask? I'm going to ask for feedback. That's verbal feedback. How old are these people, you think, in this picture? Late teens, thank you, brother. Late teens, maybe early 20s. High school, college kids. Young. Let me ask you this. If we win together and we love each other, why aren't we got old folks doing that? Well, COVID, just in a minute for right in our culture. Before COVID, why don't we once in a while walk together or feel like we're walking together as old folks like this? I got your back. We sang the song today. Can't remember the word, but it reminded me of this. Together. Skies. We win together. And if I'm the person, brothers and sisters, that's over here, and you're all over there, come get me. Let's sit down and reason together. And if you see somebody way over there, and we're all like this, let's go get those people. Let's win together. Let's love our neighbors as ourselves. Let's love each other as ourselves. Let's let love be preeminent. The love of Christ guide our hearts. For it is written, continuing in Corinthians, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live together, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. There isn't something in that passage of Scripture that touches your heart, brothers and sisters. I pray that God's word works on your heart. Multiple sermons could come out of here, but let's focus on what I have up here highlighted. Workers together with him, with him, with him. Nothing worse than think you're doing everything right and you're making people happy and you're feeling good and everything's going good, but you don't receive the grace of God because what you're doing is in vain. And in vain really means without God for selfish reasons. I want to make my wife happy and her life enjoyable and joyous and peaceful and all those things. The best way I can do that is by following Christ. Because if I try to do it without Christ, she's going to look at me and say, not so good today, Don. Does she still say that sometimes? Unfortunately, I see that look. She doesn't have to tell me. But that's okay. We're winning together. Make sure you're aligned and encouraging your spouse to win together in your faith. And if you're the only faithful person, don't give up your faith. Keep at it. There's passages in the Bible where it says, keep going, keep going, keep going. Your rewards will be seen. It's tough, folks. I've seen it. I've seen the truths of the struggles of people walking by their faith alone. This is what we need when we come together every Sunday. If we can't get together during the week a whole bunch or daily, okay, at least when we come together Sunday morning, this is how we feel. This is what we look forward to. That we are workers together with him. Continue in 2 Corinthians, it is written, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We use the word fellowship quite a bit in our culture. It's only mentioned about 4 or 5 times in the New Testament. We use it extensively. But in this passage of Scripture, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has a temple of God with idols? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So the question is, what's an unbeliever? Well, that's easy. Oh, that's easy. That's easy. Well, if we go and we look at this picture that I've used a handful of times here in the last few months, on and off, I ask us from God's word, what's a believer, what's an unbeliever? Because even devils believe and tremble, right? Are we firm enough in the faith to say, you got part of the truth, but not the whole truth and nothing but the truth? It's tough to win together when you only have half the truth, or you're trying to get along with people that really aren't believers. I'm not talking about an atheist that just rejects God alone. I'm not saying we shouldn't love our neighbors ourselves, okay? I'm not negating any of the love and forgiveness and any of that, but you got to absorb the righteousness, the things that are right, the things that are holy, and recognize sin. And the sins and the things that are talked about in these passages, I point to that because we got a great new screen and projector out back. Thank you, brother. Those people that have helped with that very much. But folks, brothers and sisters, we have to be separate. When I say I'm following Jesus and he's my Lord and Savior, I got to be separate. Still got to be in the world. It's written, right? Unless one of you is going to start a business and hire everybody. That'd be neat, huh? Christian business. How much do you want to make, Kelly? How much do you want to make? How much do you want? And then it starts, right? Instead, I'm following Jesus. I can one simple thing, and we'd all be arguing about who makes what. Who's going to do what? Instead of looking to Jesus. Instead of falling at the cross. And that's why, one of the reasons in that concept, I bring this message from God's word to us this morning, because we need to win together. And we can only do that by making sure Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And we fall at the cross. And we don't let all that other stuff. My new business that I'm going to create, y'all have to wear certain clothes. Ooh, you don't ruin that. I don't look good in that. I don't like that. That material makes me break out. I could go on and on. Folks, we as God's children should stop that mentality the minute it enters our hearts. I'm a child of the Most High God. I wear whatever boss wants me to wear. Unless he says it's birthday suit, then I'm going to say no. I walk by faith. There are some times we got to say I'm walking by faith. My success and my career has been when I followed Jesus, when I've dealt with people in a loving, caring manner, even if they're a bonehead, or they don't know what they're talking about, or they're not smarter than me and I need to learn from them. That's happened a couple times. I'm jesting a little bit. Sharing my knowledge and wealth with other people. We need to do the same thing in the kingdom of heaven as we do, as we mentor. Let me ask you this. How many of us have mentorships at work that we mentor people? Anybody? Nobody? Sure, sure. Let me ask this. Do we have mentorship here in the kingdom of heaven? So are you a mentor or are you mentoring? Or can you do both at the same time? Win together. Win together. There's a lot of concepts, biblical concepts, the world has taken from God's word and helped people be successful. Same biblical concepts we don't use as God's people to win together. Last passage comes from Psalm this morning for our lesson and is written, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boasts in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Let us exalt his name together. Let's win together as his people and as his church and in his light to this community. No scripture for this picture. I saw this picture looking for win together pictures, and I thought, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How many ever had two dogs doing it? My brother has two dogs that do this all the time. Matter of fact, they were doing it yesterday. I was up in Michigan yesterday. I had safety glasses on, and they had a big stick, and it had twigs all over it. I'm talking like 3-foot twigs, stick about that big around. Both his dogs were tugging just like this. Teamwork, together we're going to win. Come by, and that twig hit me right in the face. If I hadn't had safety glasses on, I might scratch my eye. This is no true story. I don't tell them the way I want because it's mine, but, you know, it's a true story. It happened yesterday. And I thought to myself, sometimes this type of teamwork, okay, you're tugging at each other. There's one leader. There's one person. Let's make sure that the one leader is Christ in our lives. Together we will win together. Have you grabbed onto that stick of faith? That rod that God reaches out to us of salvation. Do you want to be part of a team? God's team. Team Jesus is here, coach. Went in together. I don't know about you, but how many of you have won something in your life? I don't know about you, but I love to win. I do. But you know what I love winning? Winning together in the kingdom of heaven. Seeing somebody saying I do to Jesus. Seeing somebody say no to sin. Make sure we're recognizing when we're winning together. Let's just not take those wins for granted. When we walk through that door, that's winning together. We got lots of folks that aren't here for whatever reason. Like that picture of everybody with the, let's reach out to them. Let's reach out and see where they're at, why they're not coming. They haven't been here in a while. Whatever the reason. This morning we've looked at these passages of scripture that I believe help us a little bit on focusing on winning together in the kingdom of heaven. Because of his great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For we are his workmanship, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple into the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. That you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. be workers together with him. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Let us exalt his name together. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, we plead with you this morning to do that. Let's love each other as God wants us to love each other. Let's work on that. I don't know about you, but I need to work on that. Let's make time for each other. Let's make time for God's word. Let's make time to tell each other we love you, no matter what. No matter what mistakes we've made, no matter how much we've been hurt. Because we win together, because we're in him. It's his power that makes us great, not ourselves. It's his blood that washes away our sins, not anything we do. For grace, you've been saved through faith. If you have any need for a respond to invitation this morning, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing the selected hymn.